This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. The weather's great. The afternoons are spectacular. It's a wonderful time of year now. It's not so hot as it was. I'm not, wiping my brow all day long. It's so hot.
It's not just
no,
that.
It's great.
That teaser part where you look forward to fall, but you don't actually get it. But now you're actually there.
That's right. Well, we look at pictures. Yeah. Lately I've just been looking at pictures of fall, but no fall was coming, Some of my neighbors have decorated their pastures. They've got skeletons. They've got everything. And all we have is we've got our little pumpkins out, and we've got our the little hay bales out.
Oh.
But we don't have, any skeletons to put up. I don't know where they got them, but they're tall.
Yeah.
It's like 6-foot skeletons.
Yes. I've seen those things too. And it's just like, and it seems like all of a sudden they just exploded. It's like, I've never seen them before. And all of a sudden this year, it's just like these 12-foot skeletons came out of like nowhere. And everybody seems to have one. I want one.
Except me. I haven't found where they got them yet. So, I want some of those too. I want some of the big things to go in the pasture. But I haven't found them yet.
Huh. Have the kids come up with their Halloween costumes yet? I'm sure they probably have.
Oh, yes. Let's see. One was a superwoman. Uh-huh. I like that idea. Uh-huh. And the little boy is a superhero. I remember it's green. I don't remember what the name of it is. It's green.
Green Lantern?
Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know. There's a lot.
His superhero is... And this week at school, there's a theme every day this week because homecoming is next week. So one day they dressed as tourists. One day it was neon. Now, these children went to school in the brightest green neon shorts and shirt I've ever seen. Oh, my gosh, it put your eyes out. Even the socks were neon green.
Oh, my. Wow.
Yes. Oh my gosh!
I need to get some neon green socks. That sounds very cool.
It's fabulous. Now, and I don't know if I should tell this on the air or not, but I'm gonna tell it anyway. When you live with your grandmothers, you don't always get the message that if you were living with a father, you would get right when you're a little boy.
Yeah.
Well. The 6-year-old the other day discovered the hole in front.
Oh.
And he said, Mimi, there's a hole in front of my shorts.
Oh, my goodness.
And he said, do you have a hole in the front of yours? Oh, my gosh. It brought the house down. Oh, my gosh. And we were explaining to him, we don't have that hole in ours. And he wanted to know the whole story behind it. And so we had to explain to him, that little boys' undershorts are a little different than girls. And he was just amazed by that because he never had noticed it. He certainly wasn't using it, I mean, at 6 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Lord, it was funny.
Well, that was a surprise, I'm sure.
It was a big surprise that he found that and immediately, do y'all have one? Is everybody have this? No.
Clothes are designed different for boys and for girls.
That's right, they are. And so we had to explain the difference to him. And I figured he went to school and told everybody, you know, gosh, looky here, you know.
Yeah, they always tell the business, even when you don't want them to.
Yes, they explain things to people, you know. Oh, he's so funny anyway. He's always got something happening, you know, but that really floored me. I go, oh my gosh, you know.
You were worried about him telling it, and now you told it, so
then I end up telling it too, because it's just too funny. I mean, you know, you're shocked sometimes, you know, you're going along, everything's fine, then a little boy, you know, suddenly says that to you. Well, look what I discovered here. I mean,
you're not ready for that conversation.
We were not ready for that conversation, you know? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my word.
The
it's
kids
always
say the darndest things.
Yeah, they
you know?
Do. Wow. It's always a huge, what do you call it? And it's an adventure at the Bagby
household. It is an adventure every day to something. And, you know, the tires on my car, you know, deflated a little bit because of the cold weather. So when he got in the car after school, he said, Mimi, did you have to get new tires? I said, no, Lucas, we didn't have to get new tires. I said, Lucas, they just aired them up. And he was very concerned about that because he knew that the air on my tires was down. And he figured we had to rush and get new tires. He didn't understand it. About the air is going to come back up in them. He didn't get that.
Wow.
And he'd never been to the tire store to see anybody air up a tire. You forget, some kids haven't seen all this, you know. So
he's going to be very responsible, anyway. I think.
Yes, I think so, because he's always very interested in everything, if you're okay. And, you know, he's got a kind heart.
Yeah.
So he's an interesting little boy, I'll tell you.
Wow.
There's always something going on with him.
Oh, my word. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
Yeah, I will tell you, I think Lucas is probably a little bit more responsible than most adults I know.
It could be, because he certainly watches after things. He's interested in what's going on, and he's always seems to be on target. For a little boy, I think it's pretty neat.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So what are some of the big highlights this week? Let's just start right off the bat with what. Do you have any good news? What kind of great things have happened?
Yes, let me tell you something. We had a $2 million policy mature. So I've got about 30 people that are really happy about that. You know, that's the first time we've had a $2 million one lately. But it was about 3 or 4 months late. They never had to pay any premium. It was still in escrow, had plenty of escrow. So it never cost them a dime. And now they're getting paid, so that's a great deal. $2 million, it's a wonderful story.
Wow.
You know, we've had a lot of maturities lately. We've still got about $2 million in maturities coming besides that one. We've been having trouble getting a death certificate on the root policy. And we finally turned it over to our attorney because you know where it's at. New Jersey.
No, of course it is.
Yeah, that's why we haven't gotten it. It's in New Jersey.
You hadn't had a chance to say anything about Jersey in a while.
I know I haven't. And so we gave it to Jim Orr, our attorney, and so he's going to get that death certificate because we've been trying and could not get it. As you know, they don't always respond in New Jersey. They don't answer all the calls or emails, whatever you're doing to them. They're just sitting up there sunning themselves. You know, I can see them now.
Yeah. I didn't think there was any sun in New Jersey, but we'll go with that. Yeah.
Well, maybe they think it's sun.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just clouds and they think, oh, well, it's the sun coming up.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, they delay things. And so that's where we're at on that. We're trying to get that. But we've got the $2 million, as I said, that just happened. And then we've got another $2 million that's in play. So we've got about another 4 million coming, and we've got policies everywhere. And the people that are on the sidelines, you know, the way to make money is to be fully invested. I can't say that enough. The ones that are, they're having maturities every day. Right now, we've had a lot. They're making money. They're going to have a good return for the whole year. And so I would encourage people, maybe not to invest at all, but to put some more in, because we've got some really short maturities right now. We've done several that are 18 months. We've done one that's 12 months. And by the way, we're bidding on a pancreatic cancer. We haven't had one in a long time.
Wow.
So if we get it, I mean, the first few people will take it. So we don't know if we're going to get it, but we're certainly bidding it, and we'll know probably, you know, in a day.
Yeah.
The lady said she has one other bid. She's going to take our bid. Whichever one is best, she's going to do it. She needs the money. She needs it now. And she made it real plain to us yesterday. Get your bid in and tell me what you can do. If it's good enough, I'll do it. Otherwise, I'm going on to somebody else.
Wow.
Yeah, and not only does she have cancer, and it's stage 4 pancreatic cancer, she's got some other things. She's bipolar. She's got other issues. And so she's very sick. And she's just not going to mess around.
Wow.
You know, a lot of them will stay in the bidding process for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that a lot of times you'll talk about, you know, how the process goes, and then sometimes, you know, they'll lollygag, and then they'll stretch things out and try to, you know, play the field and try to get the most, and they'll play this game that just kind of goes on for a couple of weeks. But it sounds like this one is just like, you know, do it, I'm out, and I'm on to the next one. She's not messing around at all. And if you do get that one, it'll go fast, I'm sure.
It will. I mean, the first people that we put it out to, I'm sure will take it. And it'll be fast, unless somebody, you know, says, just in case, let me put my money in escrow, you know. But it'll be on a first-come basis. Whoever says yes first, we'll put them right in it. So I would encourage people to put some of their money that's in, just sitting there in some policies, because they're also short right now. And they know how much is, you know, we're now over $20 million in policies for September and October together. It's over $20 million. Wow. So anybody that says policies aren't maturing, they are maturing, and a lot of them. And we've had more this September than we've had in 10 years.
You know, it almost seems like these go in phases, and it might be just a different perspective, you know, on this side of the fence. You would know better because you're actually, like, in the middle of all of it, but it almost seems like it kind of goes in phases. You know, like people will have a bunch of maturities, and then there'll be, like, a period where they're just kind of, like, waiting, and then there'll be a bunch of maturities, and then they're kind of waiting. And it almost seems also like when people say, I haven't had any maturities in a while, they'll get one, and then they'll get, like, a couple more, like, right after. It just seems to be, I'm sure it's not anything that's intentional. It just kind of, like, seems like the way that things generally go. Is that kind of what you see?
I think it is. Lots of times I'll be talking to someone, and I'll say, well, I think this policy is going to mature. And we get off the phone, we find out it's already matured or within the next month, and then they'll have 2 more behind that one. Right now, in all these maturities, I've looked up, everybody's got a maturity. And some people have got 3. They're in 3 different policies. I've got quite a few of them that are in 2 to 3 policies. So all these have come due at one time. They're getting paid on 2 and 3 policies, so they're going to be doing good. And nobody likes paying premiums. I realize that. But, you know, the premiums on all these new policies are like 0.25%.
Mm.
You know, they're very, very cheap. You couldn't get hurt no matter what you did because the premium is so small.
Wow. Yeah, it seems like, you know, you've gone towards, it was, what, 3%, you know, a couple of years ago, and then it was 2, and now you're looking at really, you know, a lot of premiums below 1, and it's just, it just seems like the quality of policies and the profit margins are just getting better and better. Every, I don't know, every year or every so often, it just, you're going in a much better direction. Not that it was ever bad, but you're going, everything's kind of getting tightened up is what it seems like. And it's almost like you know, bringing on the, you know, doctors, and then, you know, having scientists look at these, and then, you know, having all these different resources that you can use to gain better policies. It just seems like, you know, a lot of times when especially maybe for new people, new investors that come in, they may not quite understand that, you know, you always want to be in as many policies as possible. The ones that do the best are in the game. They're in, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 policies at any given time. And that's kind of how it works. It's like some of them will go over, some of them will come in early, some of them will come in on time. But when the ones that are doing the best and making the most profit over the long term, it seems like the ones that are invested the most end up making the most money. Am I looking at it the right way, or have I got a weird?
The ones that are consistent are making the most money.
Yeah.
The ones that invest all the time, they're not in and out. They stay the course. And they're making the most money. One of our clients said the other day that they had made $87,000 so far for the year.
Wow.
So I know a lot of people have made a lot of interest this year. A lot of them were going along, and then, you know, policies kept hitting. So they've made a lot. You know, we've got 3 months to go, or almost 3, and we'll see what happens. But the way it's hitting right now, We're having an awful lot of maturities. I think it'll continue through the end of the year, and a lot of people are going to have an awful lot of interest. So I would encourage the people that are sitting on the sidelines to put some of it in and make this extra money while we can. We've got the best policies we've ever had. They're all very, very short. We're not doing any long-term right now. Everything is short. The premiums are very small, so I think it would be worth their time to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like you see these commercials on TV where these people will come in and they'll say, oh, sell us your policy so that, you know, you can go travel and, you know, see all the world and blah, 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 and all the things that they say. And you see these people, and they're just smiling, and they're walking, and they're riding bikes and scooters and going on cruises. These are not the policies that you're buying. It's like the ones that you're buying are, they're already, I don't want to say primed for the best profit, but the ones that you see on TV, and I think maybe sometimes people get confused, they see the ones on TV and they're like, well, geez, they're doing great. Those aren't going to, you know, mature for 15, 20, 25, 30 years. But the ones that you're buying, like you said, they've always been, you've always been about, what, 30, 36 months-ish as a max. But now it seems like the policies that you're looking at are, what, 12, 18 months, something like that, 24?
28 is about the 28. Longest I've even looked at lately.
Yeah.
And we've done several that are 18 months. We lost the one that was 8 months, but we're looking at several that are 18 months to 28. And we've also bid a 12-month. So, you know, we're bidding really, really short-term. Very, very small premiums. They can't get hurt with these new premiums. There are almost no premium at all. One of our brokers was telling us about a case this week that he just put to bed. It was a $25 million policy, sold it to Europeans, and the person is 91, and they bought it for $7 million
Whoa.
In Europe.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, let me tell you what the premiums are. Premiums are $1 million a year.
Whoa.
So wow. Can you imagine how much money they had to have to do this deal? Yes, they're going to make $15 million.
Jeez.
But the risk is so great. $1 million a year till that person passes away. And you know they've been living to 96, 97. But this company has been doing this a while, and they'll buy all these policies on seniors that are really, really old and take the risk. And over here, you know, we're scared to death. We wouldn't ever do that.
Yeah, not in a million years.
Yeah, and the Europeans do it, and they say they'll also buy policies that the people are not even ill. They'll buy a 14-year policy.
Really?
Because over there, their IRAs are really long-term. So they don't want anything short. They want a long-term investment. They invest completely different than we do. Everybody here, we want something short, to the point. We want a good return, and we want low premiums. And apparently the Europeans don't see it that way. So every country is different. So we've got the best system, I think. We don't want to ever invest in a senior that's 90 years old. We've got a couple of those.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not quite out of that deal. But anyway, we're having more returns right now than we've ever had. People are getting paid a lot of money. A lot of people, as I said, they're in two or three policies.
Hmm. What is a good number of policies to be in at any time? Is three a good number, or 10, 20?
10 or 20, I would say. You've got to be diversified. You've got to have enough. I've got one guy that's upset now. He's had 7 maturities. He's made $88,000.
Good Lord.
But the 4 haven't matured, so he's upset about that. I said, if I'd already had more than half of them mature, I'd be very thankful. You know, and when the premium is $5 on one of them,
oh my Lord,
that's a home run.
Yeah, it is. Wow.
I think his largest one might be $345 a quarter. But, you know, they'll all mature. He'll get his money. He'll get his profit. You just have to be patient sometimes, especially when you've already had 7 of them mature at $88,000 profit.
Man, I mean, that's it's really, it's kind of like the law of averages. You know, some are going to go over, some are going to come in early, and some are going to come in on time. And when you look at the large picture, I think sometimes maybe what happens is people kind of zoom in and they get really fixated on maybe like one policy or two particular policies. They don't always step back and look at the big picture. And it's just like, okay, yeah, I mean, these are going to go over, but look at, you know, these other ones that have come in early. When they look at their profit margin, I mean, coming up to almost 90,000, and that's just in this year, right? For the profit margin, just 90?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's interest this year.
I mean, that's just this year. 90,000, that's pretty good return, I would say, for one year.
I think so too.
It's shocking. Who do you find is more more aggressive? Do you think maybe new investors or existing long-term investors are a little bit more aggressive?
Long-term ones. The ones that have been with us a long time, they know how it works. They're not afraid to invest, and they do it systematically.
Mm.
You know, just time after time. And you can always call on them and say, we're short on this policy. What do you think? And they'll send me a little note. Yes, Bay, I'll go in it for you. And they're consistent. That's why they make money.
Wow.
And they have a lot of money invested. You know, some of them have got $2 million, some of them $1 million, some of them $3 million. It depends how big a player you are. Because all these people got out of the stock market a long time ago. And then some of them have never been in the stock market, by the way. Remember, a lot of these are ranchers and old people. A lot of old people are with us, and, you know, they're consistent. They do this every month with us. They've been with us for years. They haven't ever had a bad year, by the way, because it's consistent.
You know, it almost seems like no matter what happens in the stock market, people who are in life settlements continue to thrive no matter what's happening. And so maybe they're diversified. Maybe they have a little in the stock market and then they've got, you know, life settlements on the side. Maybe they've got, you know, friends or family members that are in the stock market and just talking all the time about how they're losing money. Or maybe they, you know, watch the news, or maybe they follow NASDAQ, or maybe they watch all these things, you know, like on their phone, and they think maybe somehow, you know, this is affecting their investment. But really, when it comes down to it, and this is especially a big deal for new investors, is that whatever is happening on Wall Street, no matter what happens with the economy, no matter what happens with the price of meat or gas or groceries or anything else, nothing affects the life settlement because it's its own completely separate identity. Nothing affects it. When the policy matures, the life insurance company pays the policy in full, and you get your money and you go on. They don't discount anything based on economic conditions. It's very, very steady. Is that the right word? Conservative?
Steady. It's steady as you go. It's conservative. When I see how bad the stock market is some weeks and some days, I feel sorry for the people that are in the stock market because they could do better. They could be in something like this, conservative, that day in and day out it works. You know, if it didn't work, we wouldn't be doing it. Think about that. And people that are in the stock market, some days they have a lot of money, and other days they've lost a lot of money. And most people, in reality, out here in the real world, cannot afford big losses. Most people cannot, because one day they're going to retire. They need their profit plus their principal. And a lot of them are not going to get it out of the stock market because times are hard. You know, we read the news every day. We read all about the stock market every day, what it's doing. They say that, you know, inflation is going to take over and that we will have a hard 2 years. So, you know, a person should be prepared. There's one guy that's telling everybody to take their money out of the bank. I mean, is he really crazy?
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you can go too far on these theories, you know, but being conservative has never hurt anybody. And steady the course, I think, is the best thing. In my opinion, the ups and downs of the stock market are going to end up getting a lot of people. And they're going to be on the receiving end, and they're not going to like it. So, you know, even Nancy Pelosi, I read where that all this stock that she's bought in the last 6 months, she's lost money on it.
Really? Wow.
And I didn't think the big fat cats ever lost any money.
I know.
I thought they always had it figured out where they would always get money, but apparently not.
Wow. That's kind of a surprise. I did not know that.
I read that this week.
Wow.
And, you know, Warren Buffett sometimes loses a lot of money.
Do you find that when new investors come in and they've never done a life settlement before, they've maybe been in stock market, or maybe they just haven't really done a whole lot of anything, and they get into life settlements, do you find that maybe they'll do like one, maybe two policies at the beginning, and then once they get a maturity and they're like, oh, wow, I realize now I don't have to be up all night worrying about, you know, if there's anything left in my portfolio. I don't have to check it every day. I don't have to, you know, the anxiety of, you know, minute by minute, do I have anything left? Am I going to retire? Am I going to be okay? All that goes away. And then all they basically do is set it and forget it. And once they get their first maturity or two, they realize, wow, this is really not only do I have great profits, but I don't have it doesn't take any kind of involvement. I don't have to, you know, engage in anything. I can go about my life. I just wait for the policy to mature. When it does, I get paid. It goes in the bank and I turn around and reinvest. And then at that point, they're like, man, this has really opened up my eyes to the possibility of actually making money in an economy where a lot of people are losing money. And they say, you know, put me in as many policies as possible. Do you find that kind of the case with new investors?
I do. I have a new investor now, and he's a doctor. And we have a lot of doctors. And this last policy, my doctors all went in it, and we sent him an invitation. He said no. That told me he doesn't understand, you know, how it really works. And I said, well, that's crazy. You know, his money's sitting on the sideline, and he's waiting for, I don't know what kind of policy he's waiting on, you know. It's a good policy. It's short term. And he turned it down. And our other doctor said, no, we want it. One of them said his sister had died of that type of cancer. So he knew the cancer really well. So he knew how it worked. He knew that there was no comeback after that when it's grade four. And so they all went in it. And this guy, the new guy that is also a doctor, did not go in that policy. And I still don't understand it. But I think once he figures out how it really works, you know, he'll be probably a good investor and he'll get in a lot of policies like everybody else. But right now, I think he's unsure of his footing. He's unsure how it really works. He thinks he knows how, but he doesn't have the confidence yet. Like our people have confidence in us, first of all, in the LE, the doctor's reports. They know we've read those. And this new deal that where the scientists are, I think is top notch. I think they're good at what they do. And I think we'll have really better LEs from them. I think they'll be right on target. I can't wait till we get the first ones that mature under them, where we can grade them and see how accurate they really are. But the authorities say they're 96% right.
Jeez. Wow, that's really
accurate.
So if
you're 96% right, I don't think we have a lot to worry about right now. I think we're on target. We've changed the way everything we do. There's shorter LEs for right now because of the economy. The profit is still right there, and the premiums are way, way down. Premiums are almost non-existent going in. So I don't see how anybody can lose anything. Everything is secure.
Wow. So really, when you step back and look at it, you've got better policies, shorter terms, larger profit margins, and lower premiums. Am I summing that up right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the way it is.
So this is a good time for new investors, say, to come in, or existing investors to get into even more policies, just because they've just gotten so much better over the last several months, right?
It has. It has gotten a lot better over the last few months.
Wow. Maybe we should run real quick just through the process, because you kind of mentioned, you know, when a new investor comes in and they kind of go through the process and they actually see how it works. It's one thing to kind of listen to it and understand it. It's another thing to kind of go through it and realize, wow, this is really, really, not only is it easy, but, you know, I can make a ton of money when my friends and family who are still in the stock market are still worried and panicked and losing money and not even sure of their own future. They don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but in a life settlement, they're really confident. So maybe we should run real quickly through how the process actually works for new investors that are thinking about coming over. So how does a life settlement actually, what goes down?
The way it really works is we get all these policies sent to us on a daily basis. I mean daily. We may get three or four a day when things are working right. And so we look at them. Then they send over all the medical behind it. They send a copy of the policy over so we know what the terms of the policy are. If it's a 20-year, 30-year, if it's term, or if it's permanent life insurance. So we immediately know, we figure the premium right then, because we're not going to bid on it if the premium's high. So first we look at the premium. If that's okay, then we get the doctor's reports. We read all that, how many times they've been, what kind of cancer, what they're treating them for. If it's immunology, if it's chemo, if it's radiation. And then we look at what they say. How long are they going to live? This is the important part. And so the doctors say, you know, it's serious or it's not serious. And so we read all their reports. Then we say, okay, what can we buy it for? Everything, it looks right. It's a short term. Premiums are right. The disease is progressing. So we look at it, then we bid it. If we get it, then we immediately send out. We look at who all we've got, who we think would do good in this policy. So we send out invitations. Look at it, read it, let us know. So then the invitation is to them, and it may be for 40,000, 50, or it could be 100. I've got several people that don't want to do anything under 100,000. Then I've got some that want 40 or 50. So we send them that invitation. If they say yes, then we look, okay, we need this many people. So we add it up. Do we have enough? If we do, we close, we go to escrow. And then when the papers are all right, Nevada Trust sends the escrow out and pays for the policy. The policy comes in, all the documents goes to Nevada Trust. As you know, they hold our policies for us. They act as us. They're the trustee on every policy. They pay the premiums for us. They take care of the clients' accounts for us. And then when somebody passes away, they get the certified death certificate. The money comes to the bank, not to us. And then they put the money in everybody's account. That's what makes this a sound investment.
Yeah, and it's also...
The trustee handles everything.
It's kind of, we probably ought to, it's a big deal to stress the fact that you get tons and tons of policies to look at. You don't bid on everything that comes through. There are plenty of policies. Just because it comes over doesn't mean you're automatically going to say, okay, yeah, we'll take it, sure. You go through every single line of every single policy. You go through these things with a fine-tooth comb. You really take the time to understand them. So you kind of filter out any, you know, quote unquote junk that may come through. And so by the time you have them available for people to invest in, you've already gone through them. They're a good policy, good profit margins. You know, all these things are, you checked off all the boxes and gone through them. So just because you have a bunch of policies to bid on doesn't mean that you bid everything. You're giving people the best of the best by the time they get it, right?
That's right. And we turn policies down every day for multiple reasons. Either they're not sick enough, they're going to be with us a long time, or the premiums are too high. That's the two reasons we would turn it down. If after reading the doctor reports and the LE, it doesn't look like they're sick. And they may want to sell it, but it may not be the right reason.
Yeah.
And then we read the others, which are almost already in hospice care. We had somebody the other day that pulled a bid, that we had bid the policy, then we were told they pulled the bid because they're going to hospice. So they're already too sick to sell the policy. And this happens every once in a while. They can rescind a policy up to 30 days. And that means they have to give us our money back. We had that happen a month ago on a policy. The person died. It went into rescission. We hadn't had it long enough to collect. So it went to the family instead of us.
Yeah, those will happen sometimes. It's something else that people should know, especially for new investors. When you do get a policy, say you've got a policy that comes over, you bid on it, it's available, and it shows up in my email, and it's like, okay, here's this policy. We'd like you to invest if you'd like to. People, there's no pressure to invest in any policy at any time. You're just simply presenting a policy to people. It's like, okay, this is a good policy. Here's why. People have availability to read all the information for themselves, so they can be very well informed before they make a decision. But the important thing to know is that and this is historically speaking, when you look at the data, those that are the most diversified are the ones that are making the most money. Is that a good way to say it? Or am I looking at this?
That's right. You should be diversified. They're consistent. They're making money all the time and been with us a long time.
Yeah. People don't have to get in every policy, but it's to their advantage to get in as many as they're comfortable with, because those are the ones that are making the most money and doing as well as they are, right?
And then sometimes they'll send me a note. They'll say, Faye, I don't understand this. I'll go over it with them. I'll read it to them. I may even pull up the medical on it and help them with it and show them why I bought it. You know, if I bought it, I thought they were sick enough to do the deal.
Yeah.
Okay? So we want them to know that. And then if it's some of our clients that I've known forever and they don't say yes, I may send them an email and say, what was it you didn't like? Tell me, because I want to know. And then I'll discuss it with them. if there's something they missed. Like lots of times when people are reading it, they read it too fast, and they'll miss some of the things that, you know, where it says, you know, it is incurable. It says they've done everything they know to do about the how many cancer treatments they've had, or what if they're on oxycodone. That tells you the story right there. If the pain is that bad, you know, this is a serious case. So lots of times I'll just go over it with them.
Okay. So, yeah, people don't have to necessarily, quote, take your word for it, but you've usually got really, really, really good reasons for bidding on policies, and you'll be happy to go over all of that and kind of go through the data.
Sure.
Every decision you make is pretty much data-driven. You're not just kind of going out.
It's got to be. It's got to be on the data that we received, all the medical records we've received, and you know, we're going by what the medical experts say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just gut feelings, or, you know, you're not playing spin the dice or anything like that. So it's all data-based, and that's a really an important thing to know. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we take a break for trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
We're going to discuss two things. Florida, Texas.
Ooh.
In the panhandle. You know, at one time, they couldn't decide what to call it. They called it Floyd, Texas. All kinds of things. It's in the High Plains. It's on the Llano Estacado in West Texas. It is the pumpkin capital of Texas.
Oh, cool.
Yes. I mean, it was established 1890 on 640 acres.
Wow.
Can you imagine? On 640 acres. It's still a small town. But let me tell you something. This is the coolest place in the world for pumpkins. They grow. Now, let me tell you this. 15 to 20 million pumpkins a year.
No. Are you serious?
Yes.
Good Lord.
It's 15 to 20 million. And they grow great big pumpkins. I saw a picture of a pumpkin with a saddle on it.
Nice.
I mean, you know, they say it's a quirky Texas town. There's only 3,000 people that live there, and every year in October, the second Saturday in October, they go crazy. They have a pumpkin festival you would not believe. This pumpkin festival has everything. Everything is pumpkin. You name it, they've made a pumpkin out of it. They have every kind of pumpkins. I saw little pumpkins. I saw big pumpkins. They have pumpkins of every color in the world.
Really?
You wouldn't even think about it. They have a little train, a pumpkin train for little children to ride in.
Cool.
They have awards for the largest, the smallest pumpkin, and a seed spitting contest.
Nice. So you can actually win a prize for spitting.
Yes, for spitting pumpkin seeds.
I love it.
Yes, they have a big barbecue. They have a chili cook-off. They get with it. This little town celebrates big time. I've seen all the pictures of it. The pumpkins are gorgeous. There's blue pumpkins, gray pumpkins, white pumpkins. Size in the world. They have a 5K run early in the morning. And that's the official alarm for activities to begin.
The fun has started.
The fun has started. Now then, if you want pumpkins, grab your wheelbarrow and load up. And it shows, this is all pictures of this stuff. I mean, it's just gargantuan prize winners. They can top 250 pounds.
Wow. Man, that's huge.
I just can't imagine. And so they set them out there at boxes after boxes after boxes for you to buy. I mean, it's just crazy. And that, as I said, they have silver pumpkins. They have pumpkins that look like gourds. Some of them look like a wheel of cheese.
Oh, neat.
I mean, you know, it's just, they say the fun begins in Florida, Texas on pumpkin days.
This is my kind of place. And this is what, we're like a week away from, next weekend, I think, is Halloween weekend. So it's like the timing would be perfect to go like right now. That'd be great.
It is perfect. And all these people are always saying they can't find their pumpkins. You go to Florida, you have a good time, you have good eats. You can do all these photo ops all the way around. And the small children, they said, are fascinated. Then they let you paint pumpkins. Now, the painted pumpkins have got every kind of face in the world on them. And they're really funny. Some of them look like Darth Vader. Some of them got cow faces on them.
Nice.
Cartoon faces. And it says, want to scare trick-or-treaters with a spine-chilling monster.
Ooh.
Yeah, you get you some of these pumpkins with these tremendous faces on them, and it'll be fun. It's just, I can't believe. Pumpkin capital of Texas is Florida, Texas.
Nice. Have you seen, are you a good pumpkin carver? When you carve them, are you
no,
good?
No, okay. I'm not.
I couldn't be either.
I'm not.
But they've got that show. I don't know what it is, or I think it's called Outrageous Pumpkins, and I think it's on the Food Network, maybe, I think. But they have this competition where people carve the pumpkins, and I'm fascinated at people that can carve these things and turn them into, like, I mean, they're like really, it's much more than just like a couple of triangles that are not quite symmetrical.
They're professionals.
Yes.
They're professionals at carving pumpkins.
I'm just blown
people,
away.
I've seen them on television also that carve beautiful, beautiful pumpkins. It's hard work. You've got to have a sharp knife. Or this isn't going to work. And you've got to be artistic, I believe is the word for that.
Yeah, artistic.
Artistic. But anyway, anybody that's looking for pumpkins, looking for fun and food and just fantasy and having a good time, Florida, 3,000 people live there, and there's no telling how many thousand will be there for this pumpkin event because it is gorgeous. It's on a farm. And as I said, 15 to 20 million a year that they raise.
Jeez.
I cannot even imagine. 20 million pumpkins.
I can't even.
And it doesn't tell who they sell them to, but they've got to be selling them to some big, big grocery stores.
They must. I mean, my word. I can't. I've seen, you know, large pumpkin patches before, but 15 to 20 million, I can't even wrap my brain about what that would look like to just look at it. It's got to be a spectacle just to see. Wow.
It's got to be. I mean, the biggest in Texas. Of course, Texas always has the biggest and the best.
Of course. That's what we do. Uh-huh. I want to get in on the pumpkin seed spitting contest. More importantly, I think I should start practicing now. Just everywhere I go, just start spitting.
I think you should. Yeah, spitting the seeds out. Because if you spit farther than anybody else, you're going to win.
Yeah.
You got to get in with that and get it done, you know?
Somehow I feel like I've already been practicing for years without even knowing it.
Without even knowing it. Well, that happens sometimes.
Wow. And this is, you said this, it was established in what, 1690, I think? Like 1700, sometime. It's been around for a long time.
Yes, it's been there a long time. They started out calling it Floyd, and some of them said it was from Ada. A lady named Ada. Somebody else said it was another lady, but they changed it to Floyd Ada. And then, you know, they left it at Floyd Ada once they had gotten it done. There's some famous people from there. Five or six famous people actually came from Floyd Ada. And then one of our moon deals, they used the name, a secret name, and it was Floyd Ada.
Nice.
They actually used the name.
This is totally a place for pumpkin fun. So it might be worth taking a J trip. I mean, it's right down the street, you know. And so, like, either this weekend or even next weekend for Halloween weekend, either one is perfect. Or take a couple of days during the week.
Yeah. Floydada was the code name for a 3-kiloton nuclear test at the Nevada test site in August 15th, 1991, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Now that's cool.
See there?
Jeez.
And, yeah, I figured nobody would know that.
No.
If that was a quiz show, nobody would ever get it.
I'm not even sure you're supposed to know that. That's top secret stuff.
Yes, but I didn't know that. Oh, my gosh.
Now some men in black suits are going to knock on your doors and probably all of ours.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, if you're conservative. Don Williams, the country music performer and songwriter, he was born there.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And Joe Montgomery, the Alaska educator and legislator, he was born there. And the author, Max Crawford, he was born there.
Wow.
So there were several noted people born there in that little bitty town.
Man, I'd love me some Don Williams. I did not know that he was from there. I don't know
why.
Yeah,
he's from Floydada.
Wow. Cool.
Yes. It's a lot of little things happening there. But the biggest thing is the pumpkins, because it is a small town. It's rural. It's agriculture counties. And it's just and they're going to be doing a lot of transmission lines to try to harness some energy out there.
Really? That's cool.
Uh-huh. They're going to try to send it to a lot of other places. There's a couple of companies fixing to do that. To help the wind development in Floyd County.
Really?
Xcel Energy is going to construct a transmission line through Floyd County. So this will help them money-wise, you know, make them some money, get their name out. Because when you live in a little small town, a lot of people don't know about you.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, you're just kind of hid.
Well, so they may be going from being known as the pumpkin capital of the universe to, I'm making that up, to like some kind of a pioneer for like wind energy or new kinds of technology or something like that. That might be what puts them on the map even more. Wow. Neat.
Did you know one last thing about it? That it was populated with lots and lots of bison years ago.
Really?
And a lot of people, and they had the short grass prairie, and now, of course, it's all cropland, but it wasn't. And at one time, it was covered. The plains of Texas were covered with bison, by the way.
Wow. How cool. That How sounds like that? That'd be a great fun trip in the next, you know, either this weekend or sometime between now and next weekend. How awesome is that? Wow. Cool.
I think it would be a lot of fun. You know, and you can eat your way through everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm a big proponent of that, you know?
Yeah, pumpkin everything. That would be awesome. Wow. And you could even probably, I'm sure, buy a pumpkin pie or two for Thanksgiving if you could keep it till Thanksgiving without eating it. That'd be hard to do.
That's right.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You know, we talk about all the fall flavors that we love, that we've been looking forward to, and I would imagine that probably going up there would probably that would have like all the fall flavors all in one, just wrapped up in one thing. And so, you know, nice crisp days and crisp mornings, and then you take in the fall and all the pumpkin spices and all the things go with it. It just sounds like a really just a perfect trip. That's going to be cool.
And they say right now, pumpkin is very, very good for you. Pumpkin seeds are very good for you. So they say it will help your body, your complexion. I forget what all it'll do, but it does a lot of things.
I didn't know
that. So it's very healthy for you. Yeah.
Wow. Then I'm surprised. Probably in some point in the next couple of years, we'll probably start seeing like pumpkin lotions coming out because, you know, they go through phases. You know, they release like
they do
these different
and
things.
And I think they will.
Wow.
Yeah, they're discovering it's got a lot of good qualities for our body and our skin and everything else.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Neat. Before we wrap up, we should probably run over the risks with life settlements, because I know, you know, we kind of touched on them a little bit informally a little while ago. And people should know, you know, going into this, it's not something that, you know, you just, I mean, yes, you're going to sail through it. It's going to be, it's a very conservative investment. You protect your principal. There's a lot of benefits to a life settlement. But there used to be, we consider three, but now it's kind of like down to two. There are two risks that people need to know about. And this is the really probably the elephant in the room that especially new investors are going to be asking. So what is the first biggest risk with a life settlement?
The biggest risk is it could go over. So you have to be prepared. If you don't have enough money to pay premiums, you shouldn't do it. So, if that's the biggest risk, if the premiums go over. But you know in advance what the premiums are, because we tell you up front, on every policy that we offer, we say, okay, here's what the quarterly premium will be. So there's no surprises. So then the next risk is it's not liquid until it matures. Always remember that. It only becomes liquid when it matures. So that's your two biggest risks. The other thing is you must be accredited to do this. You must be either worth $1 million without your house, or you must make $200,000 a year, either one. But you must be accredited. Somehow the government figures that if you're accredited, you're smarter. That's the way the government figures it. So you must be accredited. And our attorney says, Faye, you want accredited people because financially they're more secure. If it goes over, they're not going to get mad. So yeah. That's what he says about them, you know?
Wow. I know we're fixing to wrap up, but just talk for just a second, and this will be the we'll kind of like leave it at this. But when you say that the premiums might, the policies might go over and people might have to pay premiums, people should know that that doesn't necessarily mean, because I'm sure that probably new investors especially, or even, you know, existing investors who may not have had a policy go over in a while, they should know that that does not eat up their profit margin. When you say policies may go over and you may have to pay premiums, you escrow for those types of things. And we're not talking about, you know, bajillions of dollars of premiums. I mean, you've got some premiums that are, what, $50, $5, something. You've said numbers before.
Yeah, we've got several. I saw this on a guy's statement this week. It was $5 or something.
Wow.
I saw one on his statement. It was $300 something. We have had some that were like $500 a quarter. We had larger ones a year or two back. We don't now because we're just not doing it. We're not even doing 3%, hardly even 2%. It's mainly 1% or less where it will not hurt anybody. So an investor coming in at this point is always going to have low premiums. He's not ever going to have a high premium unless it's something really special. And I say, okay, this just the biggest investors can do this.
Yeah. So just kind of run some rough numbers. If somebody's looking at, you know, say a $30,000 or $40,000 profit and they had to pay premiums of just say $250, you know, out of, you know, 30 or 40 grand, it's still, I mean, that kind of puts things in perspective. Is that a pretty reasonable middle of the road example?
In other words, let's say that, they invested $100,000, their profit was $36,000. And their premium was $500 a quarter. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So it would take a long time to eat into that profit.
Yeah. Okay. The profit margin is still substantial. It's just nice
it's
to know,
substantial.
You know, when people hear those things, that they know that, you know, look, your profit margin is not going to go away and you're not going to be left with anything. Your profit margin is still very, very substantial. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that all policies will go over. Some will come in early and then you'll just get the same profit. You'll just get it earlier to turn around and reinvest. So there's a lot of really great opportunities, especially when you compare it to the stock market and other options out there. Really, this is probably the most conservative, at least that many of us have ever heard of before, to make money in a less than thriving economy. I guess we'll leave it at that.
That's
so.
Right. Yeah. If the economy gets any worse, you're secure. Your value is still there. It's not going to go down.
Cool. Do you have availability for new investors to come over if they wanted to talk to you this coming week?
Yes, we are going fast, but yes, we do still have some left.
All right. And finally, Faye, one last time for people to call, make an appointment to come see you. What is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.